Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
I say things like, Bill Walton, he's priceless. But I'm not tasked with working alongside him during a broadcast. I can check in and out of the broadcast. I've had him on this radio show. I think I got four questions in one time when we did a 30-minute interview. Our next guest, ESPN play-by-play announcer Dave Pasch. He's a graduate of Syracuse. He's also the play-by-play voice of the Arizona Cardinals, and he's joining us now. Dave, how are you?
Good. I think we'll answer more than four questions and probably a lot less time.
You do such a good job. Like, I know you've worked with a ton of people. I have seen you on broadcasts with Jeff Van Gundy or Mark Jackson or Doug Collins, Billis over the years, P.J. Carlissimo. You do such a good job of setting up that other person on the broadcast. It's not easy, and you're skilled at it.
Oh, I appreciate it. I mean, I've obviously had a lot of experience, and you mentioned a few guys that I've worked with over the years, so I'm kind of used to it. Being at ESPN as long as I've been there, and been blessed to work with a number of great people, including Bill.
When they first come to you, Dave, and they say, "Okay, you're going to be working with Walton." What's that conversation like, and how soon before you get comfortable and get in a rhythm with a partner like that?
Well, he and I had done some NBA games together my first year on the NBA in 2006. He still claims to not remember that. I'm not sure if he's telling the truth or not. I did my first year on the NBA, probably four or five games with him. I was basically, when Mike Tirico would have a Monday night football game early in the season, I would fill in and work. His team was Bill Walton and John Barry, and so I did some games with John and Bill. And I just remember the first time working with him, John pulled me aside and said, "Hey, you're going to have to ask me questions directly, otherwise I'll never get a word in." And then the other thing I did, I remember doing a game solo with Bill. It was actually during the Final Four that ESPN used to have a game on Sunday in between the two semifinals and then the championship game. And it was a game in Chicago, LeBron and the Cavs, and LeBron used to wear the headband, and he took his headband off and he threw it towards the scorer's table, and Bill started going off saying that's a technical foul, and I just kind of let him go. I was just happy to be there, happy to be sitting next to a Hall of Famer and somebody that I grew up watching on NBC. So I was just thankful to be there, and I just kind of let him do his thing. And Tirico called me the next day and said, "You have to stop him. That's your job. Your job is to cut him off." So I kind of filed that away when they came to us in, I guess it was, 2012. We just finished our ninth year when ESPN got the Pac-12 and said, "Look, we want you guys to work together." And I was obviously excited about it. And, we survived 9 years.
Dave Pasch is our guest. He is an ESPN play-by-play broadcaster, also the voice and broadcaster for the Arizona Cardinals. Let's go back to Syracuse. You're at Syracuse. You're in your 20s. You're the radio voice of the Orange. And did you envision this is what you wanted to do? Was it always what you wanted to do?
Yeah, John, it was. I mean, I graduated there in 94 and worked briefly in Morgantown, West Virginia, and then in Detroit and Chicago. And when I was in Chicago, I was doing mostly talk show and then working some with the Blackhawks. And I was starting to kind of get away from play-by-play a little bit, and I didn't want to. And then the Syracuse job came open, and I was an alum, and I was only 26 at the time. And so they hired me. And one of the things that they did, because they were a little concerned, they were hiring somebody who was 26. I was replacing a guy who had been there forever. So they had me work with a bunch of different alums. So it was great. I got to call a game with Dick Stockton, Marv Albert, Tirico, Costas. I was supposed to do a game with Marty Glickman, I'm not sure if you're familiar with him. Yeah. He a longtime New York broadcaster. He ended up getting sick that year and eventually passing away. He was the one guy that I did not get a chance to work with. But, I mean, there were a number of legendary people, and that just kind of solidified, like, this is what I want to do. I want to do games. I want to be at the game. I want to do football and basketball. I wasn't, a big hockey person. So it was a way to get back into football and basketball, and, it led me to where we are now.
You look at the Pac-12 tournament, Oregon State coming out of it, such a good story about resilience and grinding, and this was a team a lot of us gave up on in December when they were losing, bad losses. They are now sort of an example of what can happen in the month of March. What do you see in the Pac-12, and what did you see in particular out of Las Vegas that you liked?
Well, I was really impressed watching Oregon State play against Oregon. That to me was like a wow. I mean, I had Oregon State maybe twice this year, and it was, I think, the game they beat USC. I'm trying to remember. It's so many games. But
yeah.
I had them twice, and I was impressed with the individual pieces, but just kind of wondered if they'd put it together, and they did. To watch Alatiche's improvement over the course of the year, I'm not sure how many players improved as much as he did from November to March, and Ethan Thompson playing his best, and Della, what he brought. I think Wayne Tinkle is a great coach, and I think they had some really good pieces, but I think everybody was wondering, would they play together? And you saw it in Vegas. And I think if they do that again in the tournament, I mean, why can't they win a game? Why can't they make some noise? Because they have talent. Jared Lucas can get hot. We saw that. And they can defend. And Ethan Thompson's a hard guard because he's so big. So depending on the matchup, depending on whether, again, Oregon State's going to continue to play defensively the way they're playing, I think they could do some damage. Why not?
Wayne Tinkle came on earlier and he talked about sort of, the intimidation or confidence factor in a tournament. He was concerned about the ESPN broadcast on Saturday. He wondered if his guys would look around and go, we're on ESPN, this is the big deal, or if they would freeze up a little bit against Colorado. They didn't. They came out, they played well, they held on at the end. What is it about, this type of year and this tournament being in Indianapolis? There's something there, Dave, where it feels like a little different year. I mean, it's been a different year, right, obviously? But what do you expect in Indianapolis?
Yeah, well, because there's not a travel factor, everybody's there. You're all in the same spot. So you're eliminating an advantage, I think, for a lot of the higher seeds that get to play with a lot of their fans in attendance in a site that's close to home. Some teams rally around if, Oregon State has to play, in the Southeast. You get sent in the first round to have to play as a 12 seed. And your first round games are in Tallahassee. I'm just using that as an example. That's how things normally go. But now everybody's in the same position. I think there are certain teams that are always harder to prepare for. So if you get, if you win that first game, it's hard for certain teams. I've always felt, this is close to home, but I've always felt Syracuse was a hard team that if they won that first round game, they were hard to beat in the second round because you can't get ready for that zone in 36 hours. It's just impossible. So a lot of times, if they won that first game, they'd win the second game. If they won the regional semi game, they're hard to beat in the regional final. When they get to the Final Four, I think only once under Boeheim they lost in that national semifinal. They would win that game because they're hard to prepare for. So I think, again, just going back to the fact that everybody's together, you're eliminating something. I mean, we're already used to these upsets now, but I think we're going to even see more of them because you're just the travel factor is not there for a lot of these lower seeds.
A year ago, you tweeted out, I think it was a year ago yesterday, if there's a family in the Phoenix area who will have lost income because of coronavirus, cannot pay a bill, please DM me. What is it about you, your faith, your family that made you tweet that?
Well, look, I think it was a time where everybody was panicking. Nobody knew what was next. And people were restless and concerned, stressed. Obviously, that didn't go away. For many people, you know, they're still dealing with that. There are people who are in far worse shape today than they were at this time last year, John. And honestly, it was just, you know, I talked to my wife about it. I just felt, you know, it was a great opportunity as a Christian to walk the walk and to, you know, people like to talk about their faith, but, you know, a lot of times it's best presented when you're living it and you're exposing it, but not imposing it. And so I just thought it was a great opportunity to do that and, you know, be the hands and feet of Christ without, you know, shouting from the rooftops, but by doing it with your pocketbook. And so it was an opportunity for us, for me and for my family to give back to people that really, you know, at that point in time were in a position where they just, you know, they were hurting and they needed something. And yeah, it was amazing to see the response. I mean, I got a lot of friends and colleagues and even strangers that reached out and said, hey, how can I help? How can I pay a bill? So it was a way to be able to give back and also get a need met. And, you know, when you do that, sometimes you're going to get people right that are just, they see an opportunity maybe to get a handout where they don't need it, right? They're just people who, unfortunately, there are people out there like that. And so a way to avoid that was, you know, you pay a bill directly. So it's not like you're sending somebody money. They're giving you the account information for a cable bill and you call the cable company and you get it paid. And that was a way to kind of weed out people that were, you know, being sneaky and deceitful. And it was great. Just a lot of people, again, chipped in. There were a lot of people that, you know, had their bills paid and then they turned around and helped somebody else pay their bills. So it was really neat. It was cool.
I think it's great. You've got three kids. They got a chance to see mom and dad helping some other people out as well. Dave Pasch is our guest, ESPN broadcaster and also the broadcaster for the Arizona Cardinals. All right, I end the show every day, and then I go back and listen to parts of it, Dave, and I listen to the parts that I think didn't work or stunk, and I go, gosh, I could do so much better there. How do you, at the end of a broadcast, sort of self-critique a broadcast?
Great question. Over the years, I'm not as hard on myself. I think early on, and probably most of the time that I've been at ESPN, you're always thinking about the one thing you did wrong. The call that could have been better, the way you worded something, you know, why didn't I say this, or a missed opportunity, why didn't I make this point then, or why did I ask that question to my analyst, or just something along those lines. I'm not doing that as much because I think I'm just realizing that, you know, just like you, when you do a live show, stuff happens, and, you know, you can't be perfect. And if you try, I mean, you try to be perfect, but you can't. And it's a lot easier to live with yourself and deal with, you know, moving on to the next game by not harping on every little thing. And I did that. And it's not healthy. It's not healthy. So, you know, I was emailed Bill after the game this past weekend. And he, you know, his response was something like, I'm sorry I let you down, you know, because he's hard on himself too. And I don't know what he's talking about, but it's just this Bill, you know, he's very hard on himself. And, you know, that's what made him great as a player, right? I think all of us that want to be the best at what we do, we're constantly self-critiquing, but at some point there's got to be, you can just drive yourself nuts, right? So you have to be able to know when to turn it off or when to say, okay, yeah, I could have done that differently, but, you know, it's not the end of the world. 99% of people watching or listening probably didn't even notice.
Yeah, that's the other thing. It's like a wedding, right? You know, only the bride and the groom are noticing that something's not quite right. Everybody else is just having a good time and celebrating. Right. Dave Pasch is with us. Dave, you probably get asked about Walton a lot, and I got to say, like, it probably takes a lot of patience and grace from you to, like, do interview after interview where people want to hear you talk about Bill Walton. But I think, like, comedy acts of, like, the Burns and Gracie era or Jack Benny, the straight man is a vital part of that act. Like, so how much do you have to prepare when you can't really prepare for what Bill Walton's going to give you?
Well, I think, not everybody obviously finds what we're doing entertaining. There are plenty of people, including probably several coaches in the conference, that don't enjoy it. I do think the biggest thing is, you know, documenting the game. And when your goal is to document the game and humanize the players and talk about what's at stake, and you still can have fun and allow Bill to be Bill. I do think, you know, there's a fine line there, and I'm sure we've crossed it, where, you know, you're trying to be funny, or you're trying to have a gag work, and it doesn't work because you tried, as opposed to, okay, we're going to do the game, and, oh, this just happened, and you just kind of react. I mean, there is a complete spontaneity to the broadcast. I mean, we don't rehearse. We don't talk about, hey, you say this, and then I'll do that. I mean, there's none of that. I think I've mentioned before, you know, Bill, you know, we talked more about, because we were on Zoom with our coaches' calls and all that this year, we did every game from home until the tournament. You know, we talked more than we ever have pregame, and that's not how he likes to do it. He likes, hey, we're not going to talk, because, you know, he used to tell me, I worked with Ralph Lawler for 12 years with the Clippers, and we never said a word to each other before the game. He just wants it to be completely spontaneous, and we couldn't completely do that this year. But I just think it's you can't try. You just do what you just react to Bill. You just have to, and you have to pick and choose what you let go, what you respond to when you redirect back to the game. I don't know that I've mastered it. I'm sure I make a lot of mistakes in doing it, and you know, you just try to be better the next time. But none of it's planned. None of it's really thought out. You know, he always tends to come up with new things to bring to the table. I don't know where he gets some of the ideas. You know, this year a lot of it was like the daily wager. You know, somehow I'm betting on fantasy sports by mentioning a 3-point shooting, and then I started the D conspiracy this year by apparently aligning with Joe Lunardi in my predictions that only 4 Pac-12 teams were going to get in unless Oregon State won. You know, that was a big conspiracy, and that became part of the shtick, I guess. I don't know. So,
did Walton really get up during a broadcast and go use the bathroom? Is that true?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was 2 years ago. It was during the Oregon, whatever one of those games went to overtime. I can't remember which one it was during the Oregon run to the Pac-12 title. Yeah, end of the second half, he gets up to go to the restroom. He missed the first minute and a half of overtime.
Yeah, so are you just filling time and trying to not let the audience know that Walton's not there, or do you address that Walton has gone to the bathroom?
Oh, that was the top story. We can't. It's like, no, Bill's not here. He went to the bathroom. We had a camera, so, you know, when he came out, you know, he started towards the court. We're shooting him the whole way. We put it in a 2-box here, watching the game. And it's not like Bill can run, so he can't move very fast. So you're watching him kind of hobble back to the table. He almost ran into the official. One of the officials had his head turned. He was running. You know, the play was coming towards Bill, and he's walking up the sideline. So no, we of course addressed it. I mean, in normal broadcast, you probably wouldn't do that, but with ours, why not?
Dave Pasch is our guest. Dave, I'll cut you loose shortly. Tonight, you got an NBA game. Obviously, the tournament's going on. Your passion for sports, can you stay a sports fan while you're working in the industry, or do you have to let some of that go?
I definitely am a sports fan in general, but, you know, somebody asked me today, do you go to spring training games? You know, I don't cover baseball. I haven't covered baseball for a long time. And when you don't have to cover a sport, it's not like I'm sitting around, you know, diving into, you know, what's happening with the Diamondbacks. It doesn't mean I don't watch games here and there or attend a game here and there, but I just find it hard when you're not covering a sport, because I'm so used to, okay, when you cover it, you're all in. So it's hard to now do that with a sport that you're not covering when you don't have to be all in. The Cardinals is a nice balance because I get to root, you know, I get to be a fan. You know, I've been doing their games now for 19 years, so it allows me, when I'm doing all these national games, to be able to kind of transition to have a different perspective while calling a game. So that's a nice balance. But yeah, I'm a sports fan in general. But yeah, there are certainly times where it's like, okay, the last thing I want to do is watch another game, or the last thing I want to do is watch another sporting event. So, and that's again, something over the years, I think I've learned to balance a lot better.
All right. Pac-12 teams, you got 5 teams in the tournament. who do you like to play the furthest or deepest in the NCAA tournament from the Pac-12?
Well, I'll look at each team. First of all, UCLA has, you know, the toughest game maybe of any of those teams. Having to play Michigan State, I was a little unfair to UCLA. I think they deserve better. So I was a little surprised by that. I think it's going to be tough for them to get past that game. I still don't want to play Oregon. I think of all the teams, that's the one that can go the deepest because of Dana. And I think, you know, Duarte is a really good player. Them losing when they did is not the worst thing. USC confuses me. Their games where I think, boy, you know, just watching Evan Mobley, they could go on a run, and the way they play defense. But I'm not convinced. And I think their first round game could be a tough one. It's going to be a good team, Wichita State or Drake. Again, Oregon State, I could see it. I could see them pulling an upset. But in Colorado, I think kind of like Oregon, I'm not sure I want to play them.
Yeah.
Because of the way that, you know, Dryhorn's going to play better than he did. So they've got a guy off the bench that can score. You got McKinley Wright. You've got size. They're good defensively. They're physical. I would have to say probably Colorado and Oregon are the two that I could see going the deepest.
Dave Pasch, you're the best. I appreciate you, my friend.
Thanks for having me on. Take care.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.